And we're also joined by Rhode Island Public Radio political analyst Scott McKay.
Great to be here.
We're seeing migrant children and families be reunited after they were separated at the U.S. border under an immigration policy that the Trump administration has now walked back. Fall River Mayor Jaisal Correa, is that reverberating in your community?
You know, it is and it isn't. I think it, you know, anybody that is dialed in and sees a news story, sees a headline, watches the news, and sees families being separated and then reunited, it's got to be gut-wrenching. You've got to have an emotional response. But you've got to be able to turn on the TV and see that. And I think what's happening, look at, you know, what's happening with, you know, any young person today and even many families cutting the cord, watching Netflix, watching HBO, they're not tuned into national politics. They're not tuned into TV. And then you have this drama and the unfolding about fake news and all this other stuff that you do hear, tidbits. I would argue that most people are getting their news from social media today, and that's probably not a good thing. That's not a good thing to stay educated on the issues. So I think what's happening on local levels, on local issues, you're very dialed in on local issues because you've got your local newspapers, you've got your local radio that you listen to, you've got your friends and family who talk about the issues that affect, whether it's your pocketbook during tax season or whether it's your school district or your roads. Then when you talk about national politics, a lot of people are dialed out.
But how do you feel when ICE agents are chasing someone and then that person jumps off the roof of the newspaper that you just mentioned, the Fall
exactly.
River Herald
that's,
News?
That's when it hits home, right?
One issue that is certain to capture the attention of local residents is, of course, jobs and the economy. And there's been some good news and bad news in Fall River with Amazon opening up a distribution center there. At the same time, Philips recently left, among other companies, to leave the area. So where is Fall River right now?
Yeah, I think we're seeing some really great economic times in the city of Fall River, and we've got to take advantage of those. And now is the time to really invest. At the same time, you do have a very interesting history in the city of Fall River. Once a textile capital of the world, you know, literally thousands of jobs, immigrants coming to our community, my parents and grandparents included. I'm first generation born here in Fall River, Massachusetts. That still today can be seen and felt. Some of it is it's in our history with our old mills that are now being converted to sometimes medical marijuana facilities for grow facilities and then sometimes beautiful apartments for rent. But at the same time, you still have a huge manufacturing element in our industrial park that sometimes changes. You saw Philips Lidolier leave, and that's an international company, a giant corporation. And then you've got really great family-owned companies still in Fall River making parts for submarines. You've got Matuk, which is an incredible company making textiles to this day. You've got Merrow Manufacturing, which is the oldest sewing machine manufacturer in the United States, still making products here and combining tech and textile.
That's great, but, you know, you look at this and you have to say, is the city really kind of powerless when these international trade things happen and someone like Philips is leaving?
Yeah, you know, it was not easy. It's not easy to be the mayor when you get the call that 157 jobs are leaving your community. And that is a decision that's made 2,000-3,000 miles overseas. That's not a fun day for anybody. And that's not good for the people that work there for 40 years. And they're not retirement age yet, right? This is life-changing for them. This is not good news. And we've got on a local level, my first priority is how do we ensure that those people have as smooth of a transition to another job if they can get another job? And then secondly, what do we do with that now 300,000 square foot empty building? But it's got to be a a multiple economy. It can't just be a textile economy anymore. We've got to transition to entertainment, which we've done on our waterfront, housing, all kinds of great other stuff too.
How do you evaluate Massachusetts Governor Charlie Baker? Is there more he should be doing for Fall River?
Yeah, our experience has been great in the city of Fall River. Mine in particular, really a great communicator. And he has been able to transcend, you know, the whole party system of Democrat versus Republican. Of course, Charlie Baker being a Republican governor surrounded by at least my state delegation is all Democrats, all three of them, and our senator who represents our district, and then myself being a Democrat as well. So I got to tell you, between Governor Baker and Lieutenant Governor Polito, we're in constant communication about some of the issues that Fall River has faced. And he has been able to expedite some of the things that have been promised to Fall River for a long time, one of them being a train. Now, they've been talking about this since before I was born, but I do believe it's going to happen, which I think is going to just, you know, be really, really incredible for the city.
Now, are you pursuing any collaboration? I know there's always competition among the cities in New England. It's always been that way. We like to have our local pride. But Are there any points of collaboration that you see with places like New Bedford and Providence?
Absolutely. So I'll give you two very specific examples of what we're doing. With New Bedford, New Bedford has really become a leader in the wind industry.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that we're working very closely with New Bedford on. So what we're looking to do in Fall River is warehouse a lot of that stuff. We've got two deep water ports. We've got access to Mount Hope Bay. We're a great location for a lot of the wind potential in the region. In Rhode Island, specifically right now, literally right now, we're working to get RIPTA into Massachusetts, into Fall River, to cross that border and create public transportation between transportation from Fall River to Providence, which I think is really important. And we're leveraging Tiverton Casino to do that.
Mayor Correa, you took office as one of the youngest mayors in the country. And young people are often touted as this voting demographic that could change the course of elections. And yet, you know, when it comes to election day, they just rarely turn out in any kind of significant numbers. What do you think it would take to turn that around?
I'm still trying to crack that code myself. That's a big one. It's a tough one to crack. I think people have to obviously have something they want to vote for, and that could be somebody's age. I'll give you a perfect example. In my particular election that year, there was a very popular former vice principal that was running for school committee. That turned out a ton of young people, which ended up having an effect on my election, which helped me to really figure out how do you bring young people out. I think we got to change some of the systems. I think you've got to do automatic voter registration. I think that's really important. There's none of this, oh, you're here, but you want to vote and you can't vote and you got to wait till the next election. That's just craziness. But also, I think there's a dangerous slope now with some of the, you know, false information being spreaded on social media and all kinds of other outlets. You know, you have a president that's talking about information that's not correct. I mean, that confuses the voter. And then the voter, in this case, young person, says, you know what, why am I going to waste my time?
Now, we're almost out of time, unfortunately, but I have to ask, you've admitted that you're the subject of an FBI investigation. It's related to work you did before you became mayor for a tech company. You've started a legal defense fund. What do you expect this investigation will bring?
I think it's over, to be quite frank with you. I haven't heard anything in months. It was a political attack lodged by some of the people that have been around in Fall River politics and the political structure for about 30 years, and we had made some significant changes. And the organization that, quote unquote, announced that I was under this investigation was also an organization that I was defunding in the fiscal year that I had also been up for re-election. So I think there was a lot of that stuff going on. And when I did tell the newspaper that I did believe I was under some type of investigation, I had no factual information. I had not been to a grand jury. I had not been asked to speak to federal investigators. I still have not been asked to speak to federal investigators. And it's been now almost 2 years. So, you know, I don't know where it's at. I don't pretend to know where it is at. It's very stressful. It's not fun. It's not good for my family or me personally, which is why the Legal Defense Fund is so important, because it's cost me a significant amount of money just to prepare for something that may or may never take place. But at the end of the day, you know, I wake up every day, I do my job as mayor, and that's that. I want to make the city of Fall River a better place. I think we have. Our record is great. And it's not just my record. I share that record with every municipal employee in the city of Fall River. I think it was all very politically motivated, but I don't know. And I may never know.
Well, Fall River Mayor Jaisal Correa, thank you so much for spending some time with us this morning.
Oh, my pleasure. Hope to be back.
I'm Elizabeth Harrison with Rhode Island Public Radio political analyst Scott McKay. Thank you, Scott.
Great to be here.
And Ian Donis will be back next week.